Thank you for joining us this Christmas season on the Mormon Channel as we present programs to inspire, instruct, and illustrate the spirit of Christmas. This is Stories from First Presidency Christmas Devotionals, Gift Package 15. The following stories were given by members of the First Presidency during various churchwide broadcasts of their annual Christmas devotional. Each has a message that can enrich our lives and lift our spirit during this special season. We start with a story from the 1992 Christmas devotional, as President Thomas S. Monson shares an account of what Christmas was like for the early pioneers.
In this historic tabernacle, now 100 years old, Christmas colors and traditional decorations take us ever so gently back in memory's treasure to a pioneer scene recorded in the diary of Mrs. Rebecca Ryder, December 25th, 1847, Great Salt Lake Valley. The winter was cold. Christmas came, and the children were hungry. I had brought a peck of wheat across the plains and hid it under a pile of wood. I thought I would cook a handful of wheat for the baby. Then I thought how we would need wheat for seed in the spring. So I left it alone. Close quote. Faith, sacrifice, love, and tears were part of that first Christmas in the Salt Lake Valley. They continue down through the years and find their way to our homes and our hearts. Indeed, they're a part of what we call the Christmas spirit.
Times were hard for the pioneers to the Salt Lake Valley. One thing they knew well was that great blessings came from sacrifice. Next, President James E. Faust tells a modern-day story of great sacrifice. This story is from the 1983 Christmas devotional.
A few weeks ago, I went to the hospital to give a blessing to a young man named Nick and his sister Michelle. Nick is a friend of mine and a former home teaching companion, and his young life was threatened by diseased kidneys. Nick had not been well for a long time. Nick's older sister Michelle had offered to give him a precious gift to preserve his life. She offered one of her own kidneys. The operation was successfully performed, but still in question was whether or not Nick's body would accept this priceless gift from Michelle. You see, Michelle had given the gift not knowing if it would be accepted. Fortunately, it was accepted. In like manner, our Heavenly Father has given us so many wonderful gifts, not knowing if they would be accepted. He has offered us His peace, His comfort, His love. All we have to do to accept His gifts is to be obedient and follow Him.
Christmas is a good time to resolve in our heart to be more accepting of the Savior's sacrifice for us. Our next story comes from the 1984 Christmas devotional. President Gordon B. Hinckley shares a story of a young man who worked hard to bring the gospel to his home country of Guatemala. He reminds us that it is Christmas when we must surely realize there can be no true worship of the Christ without giving of ourselves.
Now, in the spirit of Christmas, let me tell you of another I met in Guatemala. He is the president of the new temple. He stood before the congregation in the temple, and with a voice choked with emotion and with tears in his eyes, told his story. As a young man, he was graduated from the University of Arizona with a degree in agricultural science. He was employed by the U.S. Department of Agriculture and sent to Guatemala to work on a project to develop the growth of natural rubber trees to meet a then critical need when war was engulfing the world. As I remember his words, he said, "I was 24 years of age and unmarried when I came to Guatemala 43 years ago. I had been reared with a love for the Savior and His teachings. In the course of my work here, I walked day after day through these mountains and jungles among the native peoples of this land. I came to know them and to love them. And as I saw the poverty and darkness in which they lived, I wept for them. They were the purest people I have ever known, but they were without the light of the gospel. I cried to the Lord concerning them. I knew that their one sure hope lay in obtaining a knowledge of and love for Jesus Christ, and in receiving the record of their forebears which testifies of him. I fell in love with a beautiful girl in whose veins flowed English and German blood, and also the blood of Lehi, Laman, and Samuel. We were married and spent our honeymoon in a little house in the mountains among the native people. I told her that someday these people must hear the gospel and that they would rise in strength and beauty. In 1946 and again in 1947, I traveled to Salt Lake City and pleaded with the president of the church to send missionaries. Finally, in December of 1947, the mission president and his counselors brought four elders from Mexico. The next day, we drove on to a mountain where together we had the sacrament, and the mission president dedicated the land for the preaching of the restored gospel. My wife was the first native of Guatemala baptized into the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Today, she stands at my side as the matron of this beautiful temple. He continued, in 1956, I was in a serious accident and was taken to the hospital for major surgery. My life hung in the balance, and in those circumstances, I had a remarkable experience. The Lord showed me that a temple would be built in this land. Also, I was informed by a power beyond the power of man that my life would be spared, but that my life would not be my own. His life has not been his own. As a scientist and administrator, he established and operated a large rubber plantation and built and operated a tire factory for one of the great rubber companies of the United States. But he did a more significant thing. In the spirit of the Master, he went about doing good. He worked among the native peoples of Guatemala. For more than 40 years, he has lived with them, has spoken their language, has sorrowed with them in their sorrows, has taught them the everlasting gospel, and has been a quiet, unassuming, but magnificent pioneer in the development of the work of the Lord in that land. When he walked the jungle trails alone, he was the only member of the church in all of Guatemala. Today, there are more than 33,000 of them. He nurtured the first little branch. Today, there are 8 stakes of Zion and many more in the surrounding nations of Central America. Once, a few members met in his home. Now, beautiful chapels of the church dot the land, crowned by a magnificent temple, atop whose tallest steeple is the figure of Moroni. It was this Moroni who wrote among his final words this charge to us of this day: Awake and arise from the dust, O Jerusalem. Yea, and put on thy beautiful garments, O daughter of Zion, and strengthen thy stakes and enlarge thy borders forever, that thou mayest no more be confounded, that the covenants of the Eternal Father which he hath made unto thee, O house of Israel, may be fulfilled. Yea, come unto Christ and be perfected in him, and deny yourselves of all ungodliness. John O'Donnell was told when the veil was thin between life and death that his life would be spared, but that his life would not be his own. None of us may rightly say that his life is his own. Our lives are a gift of God. We come into the world not of our own volition. We leave not according to our wish. Our days are numbered not by ourselves, but according to the will of God. Of all times, it is Christmas, when we must surely realize that there can be no true worship of him who is the Christ without giving of ourselves. Why are missionaries happy? Because they lose themselves in the service of others. Why are those who labor in the temples happy? because their labor of love more nearly approaches the great vicarious work of the Savior of mankind than does any other work of which I know. They neither ask for nor expect thanks for what they do. For the most part, they know nothing more than the name of him or her in whose behalf they labor. So many of us use our lives as if they were our own. Ours is the choice to waste them if we wish. But that becomes a betrayal of a great and sacred trust. As the Master made so abundantly clear, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's shall save it. As John O'Donnell learned in the deep depths of pain, our lives are really not our own. At this season of Christmas, let us, each one, reach out a little more generously in the spirit of the Christ.
As we reach out more generously in the spirit of Christ, we will surely be led to do things to help others. President Thomas S. Monson shared an example of this in a touching story from the 1992 Christmas devotional.
Let me share with you the beautiful message which appears on the Christmas card of Dick and Mary Headley. It is entitled, A Walker for Raymond, A Modern Miracle. The Headleys wrote, our family and friends, working with Project Concern International, aided by the LDS Church's humanitarian aid relief, have been gathering food, clothing, medical supplies, blankets, and toys for months. Finally, the project deadline arrived, and the container had to be shipped from Salt Lake City to Oakland, California that day. The last hour, we sealed the 40-foot container for shipment to the Romanian orphanage was a very hectic time. The 40,000 pounds of needed supplies were finally packed. A friend, Barbara Brenton, arrived from Provo literally at the last minute. She had several items to include, among them a child's orthopedic walker. Her neighborhood heard of Barbara's interest in our orphanage project and was inspired that they might need her child's walker in Romania. The Headleys continued, our daughter Kathy thanked her for the supplies and looked quizzically at the orthopedic walker. It wasn't on the list of needs, but she thought, oh well, doesn't weigh very much. We'll throw it on. When our family arrived in Romania, they met a doctor who was working with a multiple handicapped 4-year-old orphan boy named Raymond. Raymond had been born with severe club feet and was blind. Recent orthopedic surgery had corrected the club feet, and Dr. Lynn Oborn was attempting to teach Raymond, who had never ever walked, how to use his legs. Dr. Oborn's first words to us were, oh, you're the people who have the container. I hope you brought me a child's walker for Raymond. Kathy responded, I can vaguely remember something like a walker, but I don't know what size it is. She dispatched our son Bruce back into the container, and he crawled amongst all the bales of clothes and boxes of food, searching for the walker. When he found it, he lifted it up and cried out, it's a little one! Cheers erupted, which quickly turned to tears, for they all knew that they had been part of a modern-day miracle. Continued the Headleys, there may be some who say, we don't have miracles today. But the doctor whose prayers were answered would respond, oh, yes, we do. And Raymond is now walking. The neighbor who was inspired to give the walker was a willing vessel and surely would also agree. Our family members whose lives have been enriched by this entire experience bear witness that God hears and answers prayers, and for this we give thanks. Close quote. Perhaps Dick and Mary Headley were thinking back to the day a few years ago that the doctors gave Dick the pessimistic report following a heart attack. The prognosis was simply stated, your heart is beyond rescue. To live, you must have a new heart. There followed abiding faith and earnest prayer, and the miracle came. A new heart, a restored life, a thankful soul, filled with gratitude for the goodness of God. Another line from Dickens personifies the Dick Headleys, and I quote, I will honor Christmas in my heart and try to keep it all the year. I will live in the past, the present, and the future. The spirits of all three shall strive within me. I will not shut out the lessons they teach. One penetrating lesson taught at Christmas time is the lament of our Lord. The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. No room at the inn dogged his footsteps and saddened his heart. May I parenthetically add, we have rooms in our homes, brothers and sisters, rooms for eating, rooms for sleeping, rooms for television, if you please. Do we have room for the Lord Jesus Christ?
Christmas becomes most meaningful as we give of ourselves. May we do so this Christmas and then extend it to every season of the year. This has been Stories from the First Presidency Christmas Devotionals, Gift Package 15. We hope these stories have helped bring the true spirit of Christmas into each of your lives. You can learn more about the Mormon Channel and check other programming at radio.lds.org. Then tell your friends about it. Thank you for joining us, and Merry Christmas from the Mormon Channel.